Over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 is where we'll be this morning. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we are going to look at just a couple of verses this morning. Three verses. And something we've looked at, but I just want to kind of look at it from a different perspective today if we can. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Now, Father, again, we thank you for the word of God, and I pray you'd help us to remember that which we've read and that which we're going to talk about today. Lord, we just pray you'd bless, and we ask your help in Jesus' name. Amen. And, you know, it's an interesting thing when we look at this passage of Scripture today. Of course, we all know this passage of Scripture, and we see a lot of interest, very prominent things that we could look at. You know, he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." And that means in order to be approved unto God, we have to study the Word of God. In order, and that also shows that there is an approval from God and there's a disapproval from God, doesn't it? If you're going to study and show yourself approved, that means there is a possibility of being disapproved. And there's a lot of things in the Bible that we talk about in that regard. All right, as far as approval and disapproval and all that. And so then we look at what it says there. And he says, "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so we see another thing there is that it is a possibility to be ashamed before God. And there's a lot of scriptures that bear that out, but it's something to think about. There's a possibility of approval and disapproval, and then there's a possibility of actually being ashamed before God. Alright? And then he says, "Rightly dividing the word of truth." That means there is a right way and a wrong way to understand God's word. So all of these things are necessary and understanding. And then he gives an example. He tells us, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Now, let me just say this to you while we're talking about that. That just shows us that there are some things that we ought to shun and not pay any attention to. And by the way, as the political climate in our nation changes and becomes more polarized, and we as Christians have to figure out who we're going to support, you need to be very careful, because in all of the pictures that we have about and the talking points and everything we have about Democrat versus Republican, liberal versus conservative, and independents and libertarians and all of that type of thing, there's something you need to be very careful about, is that in latching on and choosing a side of where you're going to put your support, you don't want to adopt the ideologies. You need to stay with God's word. There are a lot of profane and vain babblings going on. All right? One of the greatest things I've ever heard about the religious system that we, I mean, about the political system that we need to be careful about, is we need to be careful and understand that many of these people, well, though they may have values that are similar to ours, all right? I mean, hey, let's be honest with you. Roman Catholicism is very good about the issue of abortion, and I agree with them on many things. But that doesn't mean I'm going to put my stamp of approval on every doctrine that Roman Catholicism teaches, does it? Or I may agree with the Jehovah Witness, but I'm not going to agree with the Jehovah Witness on the Bible. And we need to understand that about politics as well. And we need to realize that a lot of the politics of our day is driven by humanism. It puts man first. And a conservative humanism is no better than a liberal humanism. There was a woman by the name of Ayn Rand. Anybody ever heard of her? Well, she was very politically conservative. And she had the sense to see the things that are going on. She's become very popular among a lot of conservatives, and particularly a lot of libertarians. And the reason they like her is because she has a... She taught... matter of fact, I think she's actually Jewish. I may be wrong on that. But she is an atheist. And she teaches from... She taught from an atheist perspective. And she has a lot of good things. There was a fellow by the name of Alan Bloom. He was a professor at the University of Chicago. He wrote a book a long time ago called The Closing of the American Mind. So back in the 80s, he wrote a book about that. And it was a very good book. It would be a book that I would recommend reading. But the problem with him is he came from an atheistic standpoint. But as far as understanding some things about our culture in America, what's happened in America, he understood it very well. But he was very politically conservative, and many of these people are conservative in a fiscal sense when it comes to dollars and cents and money and the things about that in the institutions of our nation, but they fall short. So we have to be careful about profane and vain babblings. And profane and vain babblings are those who that denigrate the name and cause of Christ. And he warns us of who these people are, that and they deny the word of God. And he gives us an example of them. He says that their word doth eat, will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So you need to understand that the problem of this is it's going to cause people's faith to be overthrown. They were teaching a false doctrine. And so, but he says, and he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And if we're standing here today, and if you're a Christian, you know you're a Christian. If you're truly born again, you know you're born again. If you have doubts and questions, then you need to address those. But if you know whom you have believed and are persuaded that he is able to keep that which you have committed unto him against that day, and the Spirit itself beareth witness with your spirit that you're the child, you're a child of God. If you know that, you understand that. The Lord knows who's his. And then he says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And that's something that we ought to do. And that's what our study of the Word of God should do. It should increase our faith, our believing in God. It will not overthrow our faith. It will not introduce doubts. It will not introduce putting humans first before God. Because the only way you can really do good for humanity is if you obey God. Amen. If you kick God out, you're going to destroy humanity because people are going to die and go to hell. But the idea of properly studying to show yourself approved is the result is that your faith will increase and that you and I will believe God enough to walk away from things that He says are wrong, that are iniquity, that are sin. That would be our heart's desire. And no matter how many times we may fail, we want to get back up and start over and try. And of course, that's the way the devil does. There's a lot of people that because they failed as a Christian, they've given up, right? Well, that's one of those things that there's a teaching there and this attitude there. People's word that eats like a canker. You have never heard me tell you that you cannot get your life right with God. You've never heard that from this pulpit, and you never will. And you hear me encourage you constantly to humble yourself and go before God and confess your sins with a desire to forsake them, and that God's promise is if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we can get back up then and go serve the Lord. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's the idea. But the study of God's Word is what brings us to a right understanding. And so, this morning is Father's Day, right? And happy Father's Day to all you fathers. And we'll talk a little more about that in the morning service and everything. We'll talk about some, and I kind of have a Father's Day themed message this morning, but something I don't do a whole lot, but here lately I've been doing more themed messages, so I'm going to do a Father's Day themed message this morning in the morning service. But it's Father's Day. So you know what I want to do is I want to give you some fatherly advice. You know, when we look at this passage of Scripture, it's God telling us, our Father telling us to study to show ourselves approved. And any good father will tell you not just what you should do, but he'll teach you how to do it. Right? And God does that. That's the thing that we, when we look at the Word of God, in chapter 3, it says in verse 15, it says, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." There's the picture there. This is why the Word of God was given to us. This is one of the biggest ways that God teaches us not just what is right, but how to do right, how to get right, how to stay right. How to be approved. Nothing more frustrating to a child than not knowing what it's going to take to get approval from mama and daddy. Frustrating to a child. One of the biggest problems that we have is we have an education system that is many times is at odds with what's in the home. Or we have a church and it's at odds with the home. If you have a child that's in public school and has a different one standard of approval in public school, one standard of approval at home, and one standard of approval of church, they're going to end up having to make a choice. Because sometimes they may have three different moral codes, and maybe with their kid, with their friends, they have four moral codes that they have to choose from. That's tough on a child. And that's by design of the devil, by the way. So one thing the devil's good at is causing confusion. But I want you to look at this. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs to be not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So let's just look at that. All right. The thing is study, right? And the purpose of study is to be approved unto God and rightly and not be ashamed and rightly divide the word of truth, to handle the word of God not deceitfully as some people do, but with sincerity and with truth. All right? Allowing Scripture to speak for itself and being correct in the way we understand it. There's a lot of different things about that. You know, we could talk about, you know, the issue of eternal security, the security of our salvation. You have a whole bunch of people that believe you can't be secure in your salvation. And they're basically teaching work salvation, are they not? It all depends on you. If you fail, then you're done for. You have to get saved all over again. Of course, what they do is they lower the bar, so, you know, they have to. You know, the Bible says every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. That's pretty tough, isn't it? So we need to understand the Word of God. But I just want to give you some fatherly advice and everything. Let me just as a modern day father, let me give you some advice today. All right. Let me give you some advice. How many of you have one of these? How many of you got a phone? Raise your hand if you got a phone. All right, you got a phone, and pretty much follows nowadays. It's not sitting in the house; it's following you around everywhere you go, isn't it? Amen. Okay, is everywhere with you? Where it is, Brother Larry? Let me borrow this real quick, if you don't mind. I've got to be very careful with it. How many have one of these in one form or another? All right? Everybody smile at me because you know exactly where I'm going with this, don't you? All right? So we have computers. We have computers we carry with us. And we probably have a lot of other things. Thank you, brother. We probably have a lot of other things that we could do. Sometimes we have computers at work. Sometimes we have computers here, there, and everywhere. In other words, we have means. Right? Now, I remember coming home one day from school, and I remember my daddy asking me, "Are you supposed to be studying?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And you know what he said to me? Because I had empty hands. He said, "Where are your books?" How are you going to study without your books? I said, "I forgot them." And then he said, "If you fail your test, I'm going to bust your behind." He didn't say it that kindly. But I can't say it the way he said it. So, the simple fact is, despite his profanity and his vulgarity and everything that he did, he understood a very simple thing. If I was supposed to be studying, I couldn't study without my books. Now, let me ask you a question. You know, in one way, we live in a messed up world. Okay? And before I preface my questions to you, we live in a very messed up world. We live in a world that is becoming, it seems, almost more wicked by the day. We're in a world that they're calling evil good and good evil. Yeah, I actually booted up my computer. And you know what popped up? Because Microsoft decided I needed to see this. But my browser popped up. And it popped open with all the so-called gay pride. I say sodomite pride. And I say more shame, because the Bible talks about people whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. All these so-called pride events. And I don't know what settings in my computer allowed that, but if I can find them, I'm going to nuke them. Because I don't want to see that foolishness. I don't care anything about that. I don't think there's anything to be proud about it. It's wicked. It's wrong. And so there's downsides to everything. But you know one thing about it is, just a click away on my Bible, on my computer, is the Word of God. Just a click away. Boy, if I can get this thing open. Boom. Oops, wrong one. Open my calendar. Boom. I've got the Bible. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have the Bible on your phone? Do you have the Bible on your computer? I used to tell people, I used to carry a little Bible that I could put in my shirt pocket. And I'd carry it with me. It's kind of funny. Sometimes I'd go to work and somebody'd say, "Can I have a cigarette?" I said, "Oh, I don't have any of those." She said, "What's that?" And I pull out my Bible. And he's like, "Whoa." But I got in the habit of carrying a Bible with me. Nowadays, I don't have to carry a little pocket Bible. I got the Bible on my phone. I got the Bible on my computer. I've got a Bible that I can put my hands on and read as well. And all of that, the reason I have it on there is so that I can study God's Word. I mean, I can be at the doctor's office This week I made an appointment to go and put my truck in to get some warranty work that needs to be done on it, and I need to get my oil changed and all that, oil and filters, all that changed. So I'm gonna take it in this week and I'm gonna let them do the work on it and take it in, get that done, get fixed that one item that needs to be fixed, and check, see if there's any recalls that need to be fixed or anything like that. So I'm going to go do that, made that appointment this week. And I may have to go up there and sit for a while. And if I do, I'll have the Word of God with me. And I can open my Bible and study. And I just want to ask you the question, if you don't take the time to put these, to make use of these, this technology we have to give you the Bible, you know, the amazing thing about it is, I can go here and, I wanted to study something, and I brought my list of verses and things like that I want to read, and I printed them out from my computer. But you know where I got them? I got my list and all this list of verses and things that I've got. I got that off my Bible because I was able to just go and, you know, I wanted to search something and I wanted to do something, so I was able to just simply make a list of verses that I wanted to focus on. I could do a search. You know, if I wanted to do a search on something, I could just, I mean, if I wanted to do a search on Elijah, I could just go into this thing right here and just type Elijah. Boom. Now I got a list of verses about with Elijah in it. I can go find places where I can read about the prophet Elijah and find out things about Elijah if I wanted to study about Elijah. Isn't that an amazing thing? It's amazing to do that. We got some wonderful, you know, not everything in this world that's is necessarily bad. But you say, preacher, why are you telling me about all this? What does this have to do? Well, the goal is to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And my question to you that have it, that don't take a find a way, and this is just one way. I mean, you can go old school and take your little, get your little pocket Bible and everything. I kind of like this way myself because I can make the text larger and read it a little easier than those. I mean, I used to not have any trouble at all reading that little fine print on them small Bibles and everything like that. But my question to you, if you haven't found a way to get take the Word of God with you one way or another, and you're supposed to be studying, my question is, if I would say to you, do you have any studying to do? And you would say, well, yeah, according to God's Word, I sure do. I mean, you can't deny we have a command to study to show ourselves approved. We have been told by our Heavenly Father to study. And my next question is, where's your books? Do you have them with you? You'd be amazed how just taking the time to just open up the Word of God and just when you're just and you have downtime. You're sitting waiting on something. I mean, you could sit there and get on Facebook and you could sit there and play games and you could sit there and browse the web and look at news and everything else, and you're going to have plenty of time to do that. But you know what would help you the most? Just open God's Word and study it. You know what would encourage you more? Open. David had a tough time. Everything around him was going crazy, and everybody was mad at him. He felt like the whole world hated him. What did the Bible say? Matter of fact, they were ready to stone him. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Made a difference. You know, if David fell down in a pity party, it might not have been so nice. But the outcome might have been a little bit different. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, and he ended up having direction. He went out there and was able to rescue the people, guided by God, to rescue the people that I believe it was the Amalekites had taken from those people that were following him. I mean, he had Saul, the current king of Israel, out for his head, and he was running already on the run with people trying to kill him, and then some things went south, and the Amalekites came in and took captive the wives and children and people from the ones that were following him, and they were ready to stone him. They were mad and upset and angry, and he encouraged himself in the Lord, and you know, it made a big difference, didn't it? Made a big difference. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm just asking you, where's your books? There's studying to be done. Where's your books? How are you going to study if you don't have your books? I just want to encourage you to realize that we have a lifelong requirement of study, of schooling. And there's an exam at the end. Matter of fact, the exam's ongoing right now. A lot of things in life are pass or fail, aren't they? But there's a final exam in there. There's a judgment seat. Aren't you supposed to be studying? Well, yeah. Where's your books? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this day for everything you've given. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to use the things, not just that are available to us, to accomplish the will of God, especially in this place of studying your word, and so that we're not ashamed before you and rightly dividing the word of truth. I just pray you'd help us to understand the truth of your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.